Well, good morning, and welcome again to Christian Baptist Church. We are very pleased to have you with us this morning. And if you are a visitor or a guest, please join us for some refreshments downstairs after the service. In your bulletin, there are a number of announcements I'd like to draw your attention to. The first one is we do have Vacation Bible School coming up for children from senior kindergarten to grade 8. And that's coming on July the 21st. Our friends from Uxbridge, the interns at Uxbridge Baptist Church, are coming across to lead it again this year. So if you have children in your family or friends of children in your family, please invite them to register for VBS this year. Also in the bulletin, there's an announcement there about the summer schedule for children. We do need some adults to just be there. We've got a video series that we're putting on from Focus on the Family, and we just need someone who's able just to marshal the children and hit play on the DVD. There's no teaching involved, just looking after the children when they're downstairs. So we need people to do that. Also a reminder that the photo directories are now available, and they're downstairs on the table. And just to let you know that on July the 20th, I'm doing a pulpit swap with Kathy McIntosh from Uxbridge, and she will be preaching here on the 20th, and I will be preaching in Uxbridge on the 20th of July. And on a sort of personal note, the most important announcement of the day is the Daly family have another grandson. So Ezra John, thank you. Ezra John was born just after midnight yesterday. He weighed in at 17 pounds, and he's 6.9 inches long. So, oh, wait a minute. Sorry, he's 6.9 pounds, and he's 17 inches long. So, a very bonny little boy. And it's our daughter's first son, and she's now the last of our children to actually have a baby. So, we're complete now. We've got 11 grandchildren, and two more on the way. So, we're quite a happy family. Let us gather our thoughts and our hearts this morning as we've come here today to dedicate this hour together to worship our God. So let's be fully present. Let's be fully present with our God as He is with us, and put aside all the thoughts of last week, the concerns of last week, and put aside all the worries or anxieties maybe for the week ahead, and just be fully present in your heart and your mind to worship God. Let me read from Psalm 119, verse 33 onwards, not the whole psalm. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me on the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in all your righteousness. Heavenly Father, we've gathered here this morning. We've gathered here in your presence to bring you worship in word and song and prayer. We pray your presence among us by your Holy Spirit. Be with us today. Open our eyes to see your word, open our hearts to receive it, and give us the will and the courage to fulfill all of your law. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 122 opens with the verse, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Can I ask the ushers now to come and take up our tithes and offerings? Father God, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings you shower upon us. We ask you now to receive from us this a portion of your blessing. As we return it to you, we ask you to multiply it and bless it for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Abigail, are you coming down? How was your first week of the summer? Great? Cool. Okay. Excellent. Even better. Oops. Okay. I got something in my little bag here. An apple. And a banana. Okay. So, apple and banana. Let's sort of work backwards. Okay? We have these growing. We can find these anywhere in probably Ontario. Right? These, not so much. I've been fortunate enough, I was down in the Caribbean, and I saw them growing on trees. Bananas on coconut trees. Okay. No, on banana trees, I guess they're called. Anyways, so, what do you think these were attached to? What do you think these are attached to? A tree. What attached to what part of the tree?
A branch.
A branch. The branch is attached to? The trunk. The trunk, excellent, which is attached to the ground, right? Okay. And what grows into the ground? What tree doesn't just sit on top of the ground?
Roots.
Roots. Oh, sorry. Roots. okay. So, in the bulletin today, it says, I am the vine. So, God is the vine. So, that's the trunk of the tree, right? With the roots. Okay. You are the branches. I know it's hard to imagine. Just think, you're the branches, okay? Now, you bear fruit. What are you really good at doing? What are you really good at? You must be good at something. I'm good at changing a remote on my TV. What else are you good at? What are you good at? You must be good. Do you do some sports or painting or anything like that? No. Oh, okay, running. Okay, so that's a fruit. Okay, and people see how good you are, and they want to be like you. Okay, well, it's okay. Well, you know, at least you ran. Okay, anyways, this is the fruit. The fruit is what you give to the world. Now, if a branch breaks off, what happens to the fruit? It dies. That's right. So we have to. So the branch has to stay attached to the tree. And the fruit has to stay attached to the branch to grow, just like you guys. If you guys snap off or get away from God, you're going to shrivel up and not be able to really spread God's word, right? So if you stay attached to God, you get the food coming through the branch to help you live your life for God. You get it? Kind of. Okay. Well, I'm sure downstairs you're going to learn more about it, okay? So let's pray before we go downstairs. Dear Jesus, help us to go downstairs that we'll learn more about you. Name we ask. Amen.
Father God, we give you thanks again for your many blessings towards us. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Canada. The freedom to worship, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to call on the name of Jesus. And Lord, we should not forget that it's a rare privilege in this world to be able to do that, where so many, even today, are being persecuted because they call on the name of the Lord. And so, Lord, we give thanks for this freedom, for this privilege, Lord, but we ask that we will not take it lightly, that we will continue to defend our right to name Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for this season we are now in of summer vacations for our children, time of travel, and getting away to just spend time together as families at cottages and lakeside and visiting families in different places. And so we ask, Lord, for your blessing of safety for all who are traveling this summer. Lord, we pray for our friends, Bob and Dorothy in Nova Scotia. Lord, we pray they've arrived safely and that the storm did not harm them in any way. Lord, we pray for all who are traveling. Lord, we pray for safety on the roads, safety in the air, and we pray that we will all return to worship together once again in the fall. Lord, we pray for your church, all the disciples gathered in churches across Newmarket this morning. We pray for pastors and preachers. We pray that your word will go out in truth and in authority from the pulpits of this town. Lord, we pray that hearts will be inspired, the wayward will turn home, the backslidden will change their ways, and the doubtful will get encouragement. Lord, bless your church here in Newmarket. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this town. Lord, may all who call on the name of the Lord be renewed in their faith, be given courage and boldness to preach and teach and declare whom they have put their faith in. And Lord, again we ask for peace and joy and happiness in our homes. Lord, we pray for reconciliation between husbands and wives who have difficulty and have challenges. We pray for peace between parents and children. And we please pray your blessing. May your Spirit be present in our homes this day and all our days. Now we all have so much to be thankful for. Why don't we spend just a few quiet moments in our own hearts, just praising God and thanking God for all the blessings in your life. Father God, you've heard our prayers this morning. You've heard the quiet prayers in our own hearts. So, Father, we ask you to hear our prayer, answer our petitions, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Russ, for that children's moment, because it ties right in, as you and I discussed during the week, it ties right in with my message for today. I have a bit of an object lesson for everybody as well. So last week we looked at the various names we might be calling ourselves, and we looked at the word believer, and we said, well, if we just call ourselves a believer, we're in the company of the demons, because in James 2:19 it says, you know, you believe in God, well, that's good, but even the demons believe that. So just calling ourselves a believer is not a good place to start. And then we came to understand that the word Christian is only used 3 times in the scripture, and it's generally used as a derogatory term. It was a bit of a name-calling thing in the early first century. And it has no clear definition. And in fact, there are many people today who will call themselves Christians, but you know, their definition is as good as mine or yours. There are people who call themselves Christians, but they don't believe Jesus is the only way. They will call themselves Christians, but they don't believe that there is a real heaven and a real hell. And there's a whole variety, a whole spectrum of belief under the name Christian. But the word we landed on, because it's the word that's used throughout the New Testament, and it's certainly the word that Jesus used, and that is the word disciple. And we discovered that the word disciple is the word that Jesus used, and it's the word that we should use for ourselves to distinguish us. And a disciple is someone who follows and follows the teaching of their leader, or their teacher, and they support and encourage others to believe the teachings too. And there are some descriptions in Scripture of how disciples can be recognized. And in John 8:31, Jesus says to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. So there's marker number one. If we hold to the teaching of Jesus, we are a disciple of Jesus. And how can we do that if we're not reading our scriptures? If we're not getting Jesus' teaching from where it's written down, if we're not in the Bible on a regular basis, how can we then claim to be holding to the teaching of Jesus if we don't know what it is? Maybe we've plugged ourselves into something else, some other teacher. Maybe we're of the group that starts their statements with, well, what I think is, and we've all spoken to people like that, what I think is, and I'm here to tell you what you think or what I think has got nothing to do with it. It's what God has said that's important. A lot of people tune in now to TV preachers, and sometimes they get the truth and sometimes they don't. But unless you're in the Word, you can't distinguish truth from error. While you're listening to a TV evangelist or a TV preacher, okay, unless you've got the Word open on your lap, listening and reading, you can't distinguish truth from error. So if we're not holding to the teaching of Scripture, or we've decided to weaken Scripture to accommodate our culture, then you're not a disciple of Jesus. If we fear the culture's rejection of our position on a certain matter, then we cannot call ourselves a disciple of Jesus. We need to remind ourselves that the first disciples all died for the truth. The early church died for the truth of Scripture. And it's sad to say that still today, this very day, believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, are dying all around the world for that position. In fact, I read a statistic in an article not long ago that there were more martyrs, more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. There is, in parts of the world, wholesale persecution of the church. And a true disciple will lay down his or her life for the truth. So that's marker number one. If you hold to the truth of my teaching, you are my true disciple. Another marker of a true disciple, John 13, Jesus says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So the love that we show between each other here in the church is a marker and a sign to the community that we are Jesus' disciples. We have straight talk between one another. There's no deceptive talk. There's no grumbling. There's no gossip. There's no back chatter among the disciples. Disciples speak the truth in love to one another. And we're open and we're honest and we're clear with one another. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ." Yes, disciples of Jesus Christ grow up. They grow up. They behave like mature disciples. We don't talk and behave like the pagan world in which we're planted. So that's marker number two. We love one another. We hold to Jesus' teaching, and we love one another, and we demonstrate it. And in today's text from John 15, we hear of a third trait, that of a character of a disciple. So we're in John 15, we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 12. Lord, bless the reading of your word, we pray. Bless it into our hearts and into our lives, and into our understanding. John 15:1, Jesus speaking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. It's the word of the Lord. So a third trait right here in this text. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We hold to the truth, we love one another, and we bear fruit, markers of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Note here that we bear fruit in our walk as disciples, and it's to God's glory. It's to God's glory. Why is it to God's glory? It says in Ephesians that his intent was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It is God's sovereign plan that he would gather disciples to Jesus Christ, chosen to bear witness to God's redeeming grace. And if you like, we're on display. Not just to each other, not just to the human world, but we're on display to the heavenlies. Both the angels in heaven and the fallen angels. God is saying, see, see my disciples? It's to my glory that they believe, they follow, they love one another, they hold to my teaching, and they bear fruit. It's to God's glory that we are called. When you think about the cross event, the crucifixion, the fallen angels would rejoice and say, yay, we've killed the Son of God. And the heavenly angels must have been somewhat confused. Why did God let that happen? But at the cross, God had the victory. God had the victory of redeeming those who would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who would declare themselves disciples, would hold to his truth, would love one another, and bear fruit. And so we are these witnesses that are on display. And so God puts us on display, like a proud father puts his children on display, or as Jesus uses in our text today, he uses the metaphor of the vine. And like a gardener who is proud of his plants and their beauty, those parts of the plant that cannot be put on display, that no longer have the beauty, no longer have the fruit, no longer produce the blooms, These the gardener will prune off. He'll cut them off and cast them away. Did you see this? You all saw that, right? Comes from our crabapple tree on the front of our front lawn. Did you notice something about it? There's some dried fruit. It's a dead branch, though, isn't it? It did bear fruit once upon a time, didn't it? But what did we do with it? It doesn't bear fruit anymore, so we cut it off. We went through that tree a couple of weeks ago, and we took off a lot of hidden dead branches. See, when the leaves all come out on the rest of the tree, it can hide the dead branches. And you have to look very carefully to find the dead bits. And they're taking up space. So we cut them off and we toss them away. Most of us, well, we certainly do over in Uxbridge. We have a country fair every fall, and there's competitions. Okay, and people bring out their best fruit, flowers, vegetables, giant pumpkins, and they win prizes. The gardeners are proud of their produce. And the one who displays the finest product gets the ribbon and the glory. This is what we are. God gets the ribbon and the glory for who we are and how we live our lives, holding to the truth, loving one another, and bearing fruit. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the true disciples, the way they live. They're bearing fruit by going out, telling others about Jesus, telling others about God's love for all mankind, and his willingness to accept reconciliation with anyone who will repent and receive God's free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what bearing fruit is. Telling other people and bringing them to Christ. Not bringing them to church, but bringing them to Christ. That's primary. And so God is continuing to put on display this pruned and nurtured plant called the church. But he cuts off those branches of the church that are no longer bearing fruit, that are no longer full of life. Cuts them off and throws them away. That applies to us as individuals. It applies to us as a congregation. In our individual life, there are parts of our lives, and we all know it if we'd only admit it, that need to be pruned off. Attitudes, words we speak, behavior patterns, habitual sin. We need to place those in the gardener's hands and say, Lord, would you prune me? Would you trim me back so that I produce fruit in my own life? And it applies it to churches too. The whole church around the world gets pruned once in a while. It's a sad statistic that in North America, thousands of churches close every year. Thousands close every year. At some point they bore fruit, and at one time then they stopped. Something happened. They stopped bearing fruit, and now they've been pruned. They are no longer representing God's glory. You noticed on that branch I passed it around, there was still fruit on it, but the fruit was dead and dried out. But remember that the fruit didn't die because the branch was pruned. The branch was pruned because the fruit was dead. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And we're called to bear fruit for the kingdom. Which means we need to tell people about Jesus. It's our job. It's to be ready to speak the truth of Jesus Christ at work, at school, in the marketplace, at home, amongst our families. And we all have members of our families who are not believers. The name of Jesus needs to be ready on our lips at an appropriate time. We need to be living our life before them in such a way, as Jesus says, so let your light shine before men that they will see your good works. Not hear you talking, but see your good works and give God the glory. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew's gospel. He says, therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. These were the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. We are those people. The kingdom of heaven was in the hands of the Jewish nation, was taken away from them and given to the church. As Jesus says to Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which means the early church had the keys to open heaven's gate, and all who could, all who wanted to, all who would receive the free gift could enter in. This is a cautionary message for all of us and for the church, all who call themselves disciples of Jesus. Question now we have to ask ourselves is, do we hold to Jesus' teaching? Are we prepared to stand up for the right of what the scripture says, particularly in this age of secularism, where anything goes, where human morality is wide open? Are we prepared to stand up for what scripture says? Are we going to hold to the teaching of truth? Are we prepared to love one another? No gossip, no grumbling, no complaining, but to genuinely love one another, just here at Christian Baptist. And are we prepared to bear fruit? These are the marks of true disciples of Jesus Christ. Let us pray that we will be counted in that number. Let us pray. Father God, your word is clear. Your word is clear. To be calling ourselves believers is not sufficient. To be calling ourselves Christian is too vague. But when we call ourselves disciples, you've left some clear markers in Scripture about what that means. And so, Lord, we pray that we'll have the courage to hold on to the teaching of truth. We will not be afraid of rejection, ridicule, abuse, or persecution. We will uphold the truth of Scripture. Lord, we pray for a change of heart, that we will love one another in such a way that Christian Baptist Church, the community, will say, look how they love one another. And Lord, we pray that each one of us, at work, at home, at school, in the community, will be ready to give testimony to what Jesus Christ has done in our own lives and continues to do in our life and the life of our families. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we dedicate our lives once again. We pray each day that Jesus, the Spirit of God, will change our hearts. As we approach the communion table today, the Lord bids all who call on the name of the Lord to come to the table. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, if you call yourself a disciple, you're welcome at this table, regardless of your denominational background or practice. As we go from here today, let's go calling ourselves disciples. Let's hold on to the truth of Scripture. Let's love one another. and let's bear much fruit for the kingdom. Go in peace. God loves you and God goes with you. Amen.